Welcome to Gwydion's Astral Podcast, episode 145. I don't know what I'm going to call it. I'll decide that later. So, is this crooked? It doesn't matter. I kind of wanted to just clarify some of my thoughts to myself. And I thought this would be a good place to do that, since Gwydion's Astral Podcast is kind of a, I don't know, whatever it is. It's been different things at different times. Sort of a free-for-all. Not very much... definition. The only definition is this voice and a hat. But definitely not Edward. Someone else. It's another guy. So, okay. Just to start. I saw this video today, this morning. I got up too early. Not enough sleep. And, you know, I did my yoga. Not to brag. And then I was watching YouTube and I saw this video. I'll point to it. Cognito, I think. On Falun Gong, Falun Dafa. And I watched it all the way through, and I felt silly remembering that I had talked about Falun Gong on an episode of Chicken Philosophy. I'll just play an edited down version of the part that sprang to my mind. Here it is.
Editor Edward, could you show like just a few pictures of the Falun Gong practitioners back before they started getting slaughtered and their organs sold, when they were protesting by meditating in their yellow shirts? Yeah, that's cool. I love those pictures. They have sort of a the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing going on. So they, I don't know about this year, I don't know about 2024, but I know like years back they like Trump. But, you know, there was this one foolish person who had an issue with someone who was like associated with me. I was like, is there an issue between us? And she looks at me just with seething hatred and says, the friend of my enemy is my enemy. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. So I don't have that feeling toward Falun Gong. It's different from the other side of the world. I mean, I know how ignorant I was coming to India and like not even knowing one state from another. I forgive them for being Trump supporters because they don't know better. All they know is Xi Jinping didn't like Donald Trump, so they did, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But from my perspective, the friend of my enemy is not my enemy.
Okay, so it turns out, I mean, I did a little bit of background, and this guy seems legit. And it turns out I've seen the reason his video popped up as recommended is because I've watched his videos before. He's not like someone who's working for someone else, as far as I can tell. He's Irish. I guess he's based in Uruguay, at least according to the YouTube page. So he's not like a mouthpiece for any think tanks or agenda biased folks. And the stuff he was laying out there in his video didn't seem, it seemed like he was, if he had any kind of cognitive bias, it was probably along the lines of, you know, cults are bad. I don't disagree with him. Religion is basically, with respect, stupid. I don't disagree with him. Let me put this thing up. I made this morning. It changes color because I don't want it to be assumed that I'm... Because sometimes things align. Sometimes things align for a period of time, and sometimes things align for a different period of time with different things. You know? Friends become enemies, enemies become friends, alliances, you know, dissolve and reform and what have you. So there are things that you can put here and here. There are dichotomies which are false. There are spectrums based upon dichotomies which are false. And by false, often I mean not always reliable or misleading. I mean, not always reliable, sometimes misleading. Sometimes, like this, you have one dimension, which is what? A line, right? And then you have two dimensions, which is a plane, right? And then you have three dimensions, which is depth and width and height. Then you have four dimensions, which is when a three-dimensional thing is moving. And even though, I mean, you get it, right? So I think that this is basically one-dimensional. It's two-dimensional, it's three-dimensional. But it's three-dimensional in that the little lights of the monitor... I'm not a monitor expert or a smart screen phone expert, but the phone is in the third dimension, the fourth dimension. So it's a fourth dimensional thing, phenomenon. But the idea is like basically one dimensional, right? Not counting the... So I think that sometimes... You know how they talk about thinking outside the box. Sometimes these two dimensions can be a box, depending on what you're talking about, depending on the situation. So on one end, let's say this end, you could put charismatic, authoritarian, you know, hocus-pocus religious brainwashing cults of whatever kind, right? So the Pope, Scientology, turns out Falun Gong. One time I was meditating when I was getting into that sort of thing. It was during the period before I started doing yoga in the fire escape, but after I had started reading Shobo Genzo, it must have been 2011, and I was meditating on the purple line going from Wilshire and whatever to Union Station, and right around 7th and Metro Station, this old lady, East Asian, I don't know if she was Chinese, but she gave me a little yellow thing that said, Falun Dafa is good. And she gave it to me and she left. And that was when the existence of that organization was first introduced to me. So here you have that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, let's say, you have... like a cynical isn't the word, skeptical. A skeptical atheist or agnostic atheist, anti-religious, perhaps, kind of pure reason, right? So this is one spectrum. You have, so I find myself not in alignment with either of these extremes most of the time. I mean to say, if I had to choose between these two, I would definitely throw my hat in with these guys, the skeptical people who want to like talk about all the BS. I would rather the thing is, I don't want to hang out with anybody, but I would rather throw my hat in. Is that a thing that people say? With the one who's exposing the truth about, and you know, wanting to deflate the power of these authoritarian brainwashing cults and what have you. But I find myself at times on one level or the other, like for example, The Golden Dawn. I'm fine with the Ciceros. I haven't really heard too much negative about them, other than maybe a little bit of wanting to enforce their copyright to you know. I don't know any details about any negative thing that can be said about them. Not to say that there isn't any, but I know a lot of details about other orders. And like with the Reformation, the Catholic Reformation, they're like, well, we're all better now. We don't indulgences. And it's like, yeah, but you're still the Catholic Church, you know, like even today, if they were to like go through and eliminate and imprison every molesting priest, and then they were to say, hey, good news, everybody, we're not molesting people anymore, yay, everything's better now. And it's like, yeah, but you're still the Catholic Church, though. You know, I mean, you'd have to fundamentally no longer be what you are to, like, not to be above any kind of criticism. You know, like, they're like, well, we still technically believe that homosexuality is a sin, but we've decided to stop talking about it so much. And though we won't perform a wedding ceremony for a same-sex couple, we'll bless the union. If you go have a civil union, if it's legal in your state or country, then you come to the church and ask the priest. The priest will, you know, be instructed by the hierarchy to go ahead and bless you with holy water. But you're still the Catholic Church, though, you know? So that's when it comes to the authoritarian organization or cult. If it's small, they call it a cult. If it's big, they call it the Catholic Church, you know, or whatever. Scientology. Scientology, they still call a cult, but really it qualifies more as an organized religion because it's huge, and now it's going to be 100 years old in a couple of decades, right? How old is it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that where the people over on this side of the spectrum, if I were to say, Yeah, there's this interesting concept in Scientology. It's called an ARC break, where they have affinity, reality, and communication. And when there's something, like, they'll tune out as soon as I start talking. And they'll be like, oh, you must be over here, or somewhere over here. Or even if you're somewhere over here, like, not interested. Unless I'm, like, gathering this piece of information in order to learn more about these idiots over here. Like, never would it be information that I might reflect upon in a vacuum on its own and consider the merits of without first clarifying, categorizing, putting it in the box of, oh, this is an authoritarian, brainwashing, cult, charismatic leader, steal your money, human trafficking thing. Okay, what is this? ARC break? Okay. And similarly, there's individuals. I mean, I'm not talking on the level of, like, which person who claims to have the copyright on truth with a capital T should have the floor, or do you throw in with? That's not the level I'm talking on right now. What I mean to say is there are individual practitioners of Falun Gong. There are individual Scientologists. There are individual Catholics that are individuals, and they are not the bearers of the full stigma of the, where the people on this side of the spectrum would say, hey, I'm this sort of person. If you're in alignment with the Catholic Church, Falun Gong, Scientology, whatever, Golden Dawn, maybe, then you're other. You're the opposite of me. You're on the other side of the spectrum, in other words. And my only goal, if I were to try to have a goal or have a conversation with such a one, would be to try to pull them away toward me, toward this end of the spectrum, to wake you up and make you realize that it's all bullshit, it's all full of shit, and that you should, you know, go to college, get a degree in something sciencey. I don't know what they would want them to do, but the point is, they would want them to stop being a Scientologist, stop being a Catholic, stop being a Falun Gong person. I, aesthetically, even though it turns out, based on if you watch that video, let those protests that I liked the pictures of, they were probably usually protesting something that was lame. The equivalent of Scientology protesting against South Park or something. Someone, you know, someone writes an article in a newspaper about how shitty Falun Gong is, and the article is correct, and the newspaper, you know, so they go protest the newspaper to try to get the newspaper to stop saying bad things about Falun Gong. Okay. Now, I would personally, though on the spectrum of religiousness and on the spectrum of, you know, right to left politically in the American left-right spectrum, from the spectrum of cartoon fascist to cartoon communist, religion, organized religion, because of its harmoniousness with or compatibility with fascism, tends to just automatically fall the reason I'm mixing up the colors is so that I'm not saying, but for the sake of this, you can have an atheistic communism on one hand, which is in alignment basically with Marx, right? He was kind of anti-religion, anti-organized religion. Then you have the authoritarian cults and fascism in alignment over here, right? But I tend to think of the CCP as a kind of authoritarian fascism, and not everybody agrees with me. Now, maybe there's a spectrum somewhere between, like, Maoism and present-day CCP, and I think some people would probably say that present-day CCP is more capitalist and Mao is more communist. Whatever. I don't know. What's my point? My point is that people have their cognitive biases, and someone who is pro socialist, let's say, to use a less loaded word, are going to have a tendency to want to really go after something like a Falun Gong for being anti-communist. It is anti-communist, so a pro-communist is going to want to, like, knock them down. And they're Trump-aligned, so someone who's pro-Democrat or anti-MAGA, even an anti-MAGA Republican, is going to want to knock Falun Gong a peg. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. It's just that Qigong is not to blame. And the individual yellow shirt wearing protesters in front of the White House aren't to blame. And they're not just foolish sheep either, necessarily, any more than anyone else is. The black and red wearing protester is as much of a foolish sheep as the yellow wearing Falun Gong protester, maybe. I mean, the point is, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that that is a true statement. I'm saying that that is as potentially true. And I'm not trying to sound like a so-called enlightened centrist here, because I think they're full of shit too. I am a leftist, to be clear, on the American political spectrum. But I insist upon having nuance, and I find myself having a knee-jerk reaction against the uniformity of those on the left, or the uniformity of the factions within factions within factions of those on the left. And in other words, the far left, the moderate left, the so on and so forth. I don't hate anybody, but I get fucking annoyed by people who hate leftists and put us all in a box and call us rude names. And, you know, I find myself socially not so compatible with the so-called enlightened centrists. Though, when it comes down to a lot of specific conversation points and topics, I find myself in alignment with them. Though, you know, you see what I mean? You see why I'm not doing this on Chicken Philosophy? Basically, this whole thing was something I initially wanted to talk about on Chicken Philosophy, but then I thought it would take too long and be too messy and not really go anywhere. So this is a clarification to myself, about myself kind of situation. And then what happens is I put something out there, and then I listen to it later, and then I find myself either agreeing or disagreeing with it, and then I revise my point of view based on that. So, yeah, I don't know if I even really said anything. Like, on Chicken Philosophy, I talk about elements within the Catholic groupthink or egregore on their own merit, on their own terms, and coming from the outside. I don't really necessarily... I tend to be more critical than not, but I'm not being critical for the sake of being one of these guys. You know what I mean? I respect the truth finder aspect of the those who legitimately either acknowledge... I hate that dog so much. They set aside... I don't hate dogs. I hate that dog. Just to be clear, it's the landlord's dog. And the bane of my existence. Anyway. What was I talking about? You see, I can't even fucking think. I don't wish the dog harm. On paper, not publicly. I would not go on the internet or YouTube and publicly state that I wish any form of harm to that specific dog. What was I saying? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I feel silly about what I said about Falun Gong in that episode of Secret of the Golden Flower, like a few months ago, whenever that was, that clip I played earlier. But at the same time, I hadn't really done any kind of deep dive into the organization or found out like how many despicable things that they were up to and have been up to for the past 20 some odd years. And I, on account of a personal, emotional, sentimental alignment feeling with Tibetan Buddhism, and my dad, tend to err on the side of being critical of the CCP. And so the enemy of my enemy becomes my friend. But... Not everybody who's the enemy of your enemy should be your friend. And you shouldn't have enemies that aren't really your enemies. And obviously, if you're in the business of creating cults, if you're in the business of creating groupthinks, if you're in the business of organizing armies and getting people marching for whatever cause, then you're going to have different priorities than me. You're going to think in terms of enemies and allies. And you're going to think in terms of getting everybody on the same page. You're going to think in terms of right and wrong, good and evil. And, you know, depending on the cause, I'm not against necessarily that. I'm willing to allow for a certain amount of Machiavellian truth bending for a good cause. I just don't want anything to do with it personally. But I'm not going to come rail at it with a sledgehammer, an ideological sledgehammer, and try to knock it down. But just because I'm not targeting you and your movement doesn't mean I'm not going to speak my mind about what I'm speaking my mind about. But I allow for there to be value in the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard and the teachings and practices of Falun Gong and the teachings and practices of the Catholic Church and the teachings and practices of the Golden Dawn, while at the same time I don't want to say condemning, because then I sound too much like Martin Luther or St. Paul, but maybe that's just some shadow work that I have yet to finish. In other words, my inner St. Paul, my inner Martin Luther condemns things. But the thing is, like, okay, well, you can hate cults, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, try to save the people that are in it. Try to inform people about how shitty it is so they don't join it. I've learned that sometimes when you try to let people know about how despicable a cult leader is, at a certain point, they're like, man, this guy sounds fucking cool. Like, could I have his number? I want to join his cult. And it's like, were you not listening for the past year, for the past 5 years that I've been dying? No, I have. That's why I want to meet him, because, man, somebody who can do all that is so powerful. That's the kind of person I want to meet. Maybe the kind of person you want to be more like, have the abilities of, have the skills of. So, I mean, at a certain point, it's like better to say nothing. But silence should come from a place of inner stillness and quiet and peace, not be an enforced activity when you want to say something but you can't, or you want to say something but you're you know, insisting upon saying nothing or being silent because you don't want to make waves, because you don't want to upset people, depending on the subject, because you don't want to become a target. So yeah, sometimes I might say stuff out loud that you disagree with. Sometimes I might say stuff out loud that you think would be ideologically poisonous or contrary to your goals in whatever cult egregore army you're creating, if that's what you're doing. And, you know, I mean, I hope not, but I'm not going to stay silent or change my honest perspective in the present moment in order to try to suit what I'm guessing might be the to be in alignment with other people. I was talking to Pio about this, that when I was younger, I used to have this problem where when I'm hanging out with this person, I pretend to be this person. When I'm hanging out with this person, I pretend to be this person. And so my worst nightmare is that they would both be in the same place at the same time, because then who do I pretend to be? That's kind of a lame problem to have, you know, I think. So I think it's much better to be raw and honest and reclusive. It helps to be reclusive. If I can keep everybody at a vast distance, then I can be free to speak my honest opinion, my honest mind. To be honest about being confused, to be clear about being unclear, if that's the case. To be unclear about being clear in other cases. Because I would rather, that. If a bond, if an oxytocin bond with somebody is dependent upon agreement, and both are making compromises in order to find a midpoint of agreement for the sake of the oxytocin bond, then truth or honesty was thrown out the window at the very first step. It'd be nice, I think, I think that's kind of what certain practices can do. I won't say they're designed to do, but some approaches towards certain practices that could be considered spiritual as opposed to scientific or whatever. I that's a false dichotomy. I tend to think of that one as false. Practices that have been co-opted by or have manifested in forms which are overtly religious and have like, for example, Buddhism. And that's an interesting thing that's resulted from this project of reading the pre-sectarian early Buddhism is, yeah, there's people with magical powers, there's psychic abilities, there's reincarnation, and there's gods in pre-sectarian early Buddhism. So the people who say, well, real Buddhism is just a philosophy, not a religion. It's like, well, the terms philosophy and religion in English and the dichotomy between them is a present-day thing that you're projecting on a culture on the other side of the world 2,600 years ago, A. And B, the way you define it, you're wrong about that, it turns out. But getting down to the nitty-gritty of, you know, the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path and all that, especially the Four Noble Truths, it's a way, you know, if held as a centerpiece in one's, as a guiding light and a guiding compass, it will lead a person to approach many things in a particular way that's different from somebody who wants to get everybody marching in line with the common enemy, obviously, unless that common enemy is something very abstract. And that those Four Noble Truths can be found at the center of very religious-looking, complete with charismatic leaders and incense and chanting in unison and patriotism and even marching to war. So there's a spectrum there. the most religious and the least religious forms of Buddhism, Scientology. I would say that that going to Gordon's house late at night and smoking weed and drinking Bushmills Irish whiskey and opening up the tech dictionary and having Gordon rant and rave explaining Scientology is on one end of the spectrum. And, you know, Tom Cruise is on the other. And I have no experience with any part of the spectrum except for learning it from Gordon. Thank God. Maybe I'm the only person in the world who has nothing but a positive relationship with the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard. Directly. I mean, obviously, indirectly, I can see that, oh, shit, there's a lot of negativity that people have experienced. And, you know, very, very typical culty behavior. Similar in Scientology and in Catholicism and in other forms of Christianity and in different forms of Islam and Judaism as well, and Buddhism and Hinduism and yoga and Falun Gong, did I already mention that, and Scientology and Moonies and whatever. It kind of doesn't matter that much what the doctrine is. That's just kind of the, you know, aesthetic. You can have a Catholic aesthetic. I have a friend who has archangel tattoos. Hates the Catholic Church, but he's got these Roman Catholic looking archangel tattoos. And so, yeah, you know, some people have pointed out that Victorian England, you know, was very shitty in a lot of ways as far as, you know, gender relations and colonialism and all of this. But damn, those dresses and the jewelry and the, you know, the architecture, you know, it's like, mwah, you know, so pretty. And same with Catholicism. Some people are into it, some people aren't. Golden Dawn, you got the black and white tiles and all the primary colors and stuff. And if you find yourself in a shitty one, it can be really nightmarish. But the aesthetic is cool. Unless you like witches, unless you like Wiccans, and then you can find yourself out in a forest dancing around a fire. And that can be just as shitty as anything else if you get a cult leader involved. So then it's like, choose your aesthetic, but then you don't have to join a cult. You can just decorate your room with that aesthetic, you know. I am absolutely free. And I've got this. I don't know enough about Shingon to know how culty they are, but I'm sure they can get just as culty as anyone else. Tibetan Buddhist things. I know Matthew, what's his name, from Conspirituality, was in a Tibetan Buddhist cult, and he has a hard time talking about or looking at or experiencing anything Tibetan Buddhist because he has flashbacks to the cult he was in, and I can only be grateful that I haven't had a similar experience because I enjoy the aesthetic and even some aspects of the teachings and the stories and what have you, but I'm much more of a Four Noble Truths person, much more into Zen as far as like my personal actual practice, but I do like the aesthetic of Tibetan Buddhism, and got a lot of Hinduism happening here. I like the aesthetics of capitalism, you might say, got coins and what have you. I like the aesthetics of communism too. This is all separate from what I actually think is good and important. I'm not saying that anyone else should separate their aesthetic from their ideology. Not saying they shouldn't either. Again, pick your poison. You can be on whatever spectrum and you can be off the spectrum and you can disregard the spectrum and call it a false dichotomy. Spectrum. Is there a false spectrum? The spectrum between two opposite points on a false dichotomy? I don't know. I think before I close this episode, I'm grateful for Gwydion's Astral Podcast for being a place where I can come on and just talk without being concerned about whether the episode is good or not. It's episode 145, and it's definitely not the worst. Definitely not the worst. There are some that are so bad they haven't even survived. I think of the 145, there's less than 50 that are... I don't know. Now I want to count them. They still retain their episode numbers, even though there's a lot of episodes that are missing. There's some that are missing that I wish weren't missing, that just were a casualty of my nervous breakdowns or whatever when I deleted the podcast more than once and brought it back more than once. For example, there's a cover, a parody of It's a Sin by the Pet Shop Boys called It's the Sims. I can hear it in my head. But I have no recording of it. It was episode 2, I think, of Gwydion's Astral Podcast, Once Upon a Time. Episode 1 is still there, but not episode 2. Anyway, what should I name this episode? Whatever I name this episode is going to be the last thing I say in this episode. So... Shit, I don't know. Falun something, cult something, false dichotomy something, spectrum. If I say spectrum, people will think I'm talking about autism. If I say Falun Dong or Bong or something, they'll think I'm being racist. If I say... You see the struggle of the artist. Sometimes I just err on something stupid, some free association. Maybe that's what I'll do in this case. What do you think I should name it? Obviously, I can't hear you. By the way, if you're here seeing me and you haven't already, check out Chicken Philosophy. It's good. We just celebrated our 200th episode, which means a month or two ago, it passed up Woody and Zastral podcast, which has been around for 9 years. Chicken Philosophy has been less than 2 years, and it's already got 55 more episodes. It's worth checking out, I think. We're on a rotation, so I do one out of three is Gwydion hosted. I'll point to it. That's Chicken Philosophy. And I'll put a link to the playlist at the end. The playlist begins with the most recent episode. So the name of the episode is going to be see, I'm just like looking around for something. Maybe a book title. So this has been, stay on here for the, actually I'll just put it up now. Here's the link to the Chicken Philosophy playlist. Go ahead and click it. This has been Gwydion's Astral Podcast, episode 145, White Eagle. Until next time.